on this edition of The Self-Publishing Show.
Quite frankly, I've actually had Amazon employees reach out and say, hey, can you do a demo? Because I've heard that your visualization is really good. And we've walked through it and they go, I've never looked at our data like this.
Publishing is changing. No more gatekeepers, no more barriers, no one standing between you and your readers. Do you want to make a living from your writing? Join indie bestseller Mark Dawson and first-time author James Blatch as they shine a light on the secrets of self-publishing success. This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Hello and welcome. It's The Self-Publishing Show on a Friday from the United Kingdom. This is James Blatch.
And Mark Dawson. Hello.
Mark, the pub's open in 12 hours. 13
hours. You'd be an idiot to go in one of them. No, thank you.
Well, it's...
Look what happens. Look what's happening in America at the moment. Now bars are open and no, not a good idea. Not for me.
Oh, good. More space for me. They're all booked up around here because you have to book a table in the garden.
Same. Yeah, yeah, same here.
So you can't get in anywhere at the moment. The weather's rotten here, but I like the fact that when they do legislation on a date, it obviously kicks in at midnight when legislation works. But they've amended this particular bit of legislation, so, or whatever it's called in Parliament, so that it starts at 6 a.m. in the morning, because they didn't suddenly occur to them quite late on. A load of pubs will open at midnight tonight. Not great. So, yes, anyway, it's a landmark moment in the history of coronavirus, bracing ourselves for the second wave.
Possibly, yes. I'll be staying at home, that's for sure.
Reading.
Well, actually, I bought quite a few books today. I actually spent £3,600 on 400 of my own books.
Yes. I'll tell you what, let me welcome our Patreon supporter. We have one this week to welcome. His name is Gary Romer. Gary, thank you very much. He's been to patreon.com/self-publishing show to support this show and get lots of goodies and access to training in the process. You can do that as well. But yeah, let's talk about one thing before we get on to our... We're going to talk about Amazon ads and a bolt-on service you can get that sits on top of your Amazon ads campaigns to help you run them, make life easier, give some time back, and hopefully more sales. That's coming in a moment. But yeah, you have been launched... Well, this in the last couple of months, you've launched the hardbacks distribution into kind of mainstream supermarkets. And is it gone into WH Smith? If you're in America, you won't know what that means, but it's like a high street book retailer. Because I was looking today, couldn't see it in my local one, Huntingdon. It's a very small one there anyway. So
yeah, they didn't take many. They were a little bit disappointing. But you know, it's also coronavirus and all that. So there's lots of reasons why they didn't. But no, it's mainly the supermarkets. So yeah, it's been less than a couple of months. It's actually a week. It's been out for a week. It was a week ago yesterday. So about 10 days. So it's been... Yeah, it's been interesting, me driving around the Southwest last week, failing to find one. But then just how those stores, they're not all required to stock the book. And I've had plenty of pictures from readers and actually some SPFers as well and family who found copies of the book in various places around the country. So it's definitely selling. We know that we are at the moment, or on Wednesday, it was at number 13 in the Sunday Times bestseller list, which is so not that hard to do. I mean, it sold about 1,300 copies, I think, to get to that kind of level. So that's quite good. We'd like to get to the top 10. So the last couple of days have been pretty interesting. I haven't offered the opportunity to any of my non-UK readers to get a copy of the book. And we've been trying to think of ways that we could do that in a way that would count those sales as tracked sales for the chart. And I sent out an email yesterday asking, you know, people outside the UK if they would like a signed copy. And I had about 400 responses saying that they would. Some people, you know, wanting five copies, some wanting, you know, several wanting multiple copies. So it would have, we were about 300 off the top 10 on Wednesday. And I think probably about 400 people have indicated that they're interested, which if everything else stays the same, provided those, none of the books ahead in the slots from 10 to 12 suddenly picked up speed and sold. And I've kind of widened the 300 gap to where I was. We may have vaulted them. So the kind of the trick today has been how do we get the books to count, and then how do we take payment, and how do we get them shipped? And so I took an executive decision about 12 o'clock. I went into the local children's bookstore here in Salisbury called Rocket Ship Books, and I said, would you be interested if I placed an order for 400 hardbacks of my own book? And they were like, yes, of course. So they got a margin. They made a couple of quid on each book. They got 45% off the list price. So they were buying them. That would have been their margin. They added £2 on that. So they made £2 per book. And I think, as far as we can make out, those sales will track. We can't say for sure, but we think they will. And what we're going to do subsequently, in order to get those books out to readers, is I've been doing a project on my website for the last couple of weeks, which will be adding a store to it, where readers can get any of my print books, so including the hardback, get a signed copy, and they go to. There's a WooCommerce store integrated in it. There they can pay through Stripe. Stripe takes the money. I get pinged an email with a dedication and their address. And then I'm probably going to hire someone actually to work full-time for the business in the next week or two. And one of her jobs will be to make that work. So tell me what I need to do. Pick up the signed books, package them, take them to the post office, send them off. So...
okay.
We'll see. You know, it's fingers crossed that, you know, it cost £3,600 to buy those books, which felt very, buying your own book was kind of a bit grandiose.
Yeah. Offset against the income you get from people buying it for you. So the exercise wouldn't have been profit making for you, I assume, but.
It'll be break even, I think.
Yeah.
This one will be breaking because the hardback is quite carefully priced. Thing is, though, it's shipping. Shipping is ridiculous. To ship a hardback to the United States, how much do you think that costs? Have a guess.
Well, by your voice, I'd say it's going to be more. Or are you going to tell me it's 10 quid or something?
Keep going.
Oh, really?
£18. £18 to send it. That's kind of normal airmail, so not extravagant. You could pay more. And then surface mail, so the one that would take the longest, the minimum on that is £8. So it is really expensive, and you know the actual shipping will cost more than the book does, which that's just crazy. There doesn't seem to be any way around it.
What you need is a VA in the States who you can crate off if you send stuff by ship. I mean, those, what are they called, containers? That's the cheapest way of shipping stuff. You get space in a container.
I'll send them, 10,000 books.
It doesn't have to be a whole container. You can get a piece of a container. And occasionally they fall off ships and sink to the bottom of the Atlantic, but generally they're okay. Anyway, this is obviously a bit of a one-off, and you're going to be very frustrated if it turns out that this was not a returns shop that counts for the list.
It is. We've cleared that. It is definitely a return shop, but the chart runs from Sunday to Saturday. So that sales from last Sunday to tomorrow, as we record this Saturday, are counted. It's just with the virus and all that, you know, and apparently the person who compiles the chart is on furlough. Right. So we've just got to hope that those sales track. There's nothing I can do. I can't make them track. They think the bookshop was confident, and Gardeners, who are the distributors, spoke to the bookshop and said, as far as we're concerned, they are tracked. So we'll see. You know, I won't be able to tell, probably. Well, I probably will be able to tell, but I can't do anything else.
How did you know you were 13?
You get, on Wednesday, you get a half-weekly report.
That's an industry report, is it? That's not published anywhere.
No, it's industry. Yeah, you've probably got to subscribe to it. So that's Nielsen's who put that out.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting exercise. Old school. You've gone old school. What's interesting about this whole process is those lists, right? I know you've said in the past you're not that bothered about it, and I think it'd be a nice thing to do, and it's part of a strategy if you kind of raise visibility into more mainstream areas, which will feed back into your book sales where you make the profit on Amazon and the other retailers. I understand that. And I've mentioned these lists in the past. You've said, well, it doesn't really matter. And it sort of does and it doesn't. I think they do matter, because for most of our friends who aren't immersed in the indie world of publishing, they open the paper or they go online and they see the top 10 Sunday Times lists and they see those stickers, and it means something to them about the books that people are reading. And it does annoy me that in a week where you'll get, I don't know, some great authors like Martine Cole or whoever at number one, and all those similar authors, Joanne Harris, or the rest of them in that list, and then there'll be LJ Ross and you nowhere to be seen because your sales, because of an accident of the way the system's evolving, don't count. But that makes no sense because people are buying your books and reading them. It should be reflected in a list that people look at as being the Bible of who's reading what at the moment.
Well, the Amazon charts do that. I mean, just on Amazon, so it's not just... you may not know this. So there's a facility now called Amazon Charts, which take into account Kindle unlimited page reads, sales. I think they also take into account listens as well. So it collates... And, you know, Amazon is the biggest bookstore in the country by a gazillion miles. So that's a much more relevant metric or benchmark than the Sunday Times bestseller list.
But my neighbour doesn't look at that. My neighbour opens the paper on a Sunday.
I know. That's just how it is. But it doesn't bother me that much. I won't be that bothered. I'll be annoyed if we miss it by 50. But I won't be that annoyed. I don't think it is that important. The publishers are very keen. Mm. But then they're approaching it from a slightly different angle that I do. I would rather say, and we can say, you know, on the cover, 3 million copies sold. You know, that to me it would be a more powerful piece of social proof than Sunday Times bestseller. Because, you know, I suppose not everyone would know this, but you can be on the Sunday Times bestseller list with, you know, well, you mentioned Louise. Louise would have sold enough yesterday to rank on the Sunday Times bestseller list, I would imagine. And I probably would too. So, you know, we know that. We know, you know, what the numbers are across the different areas of the industry. As you say, and you're right, the general public won't really realise that. But, you know, things are changing.
But,
you know,
yes.
I'm also quite competitive, as you know. And, yes. And I've never seen a challenge I don't like to beat. So, no. You know, we'll see if we,
I can, see
we
that.
Can do that.
It's gripped you. Yes, I do think it's currently a little misleading when you look at that chart. It is not a true reflection. If people think that's a reflection of the books that are selling in the UK at the moment, they're being misled. And they don't understand. There should be a caveat at the bottom saying the biggest retailer that people buy books from is not included for all the ebooks, which is how most, you know, a lot of people read that consume their books. I guess
the print books are counted
because it's the ISBN system, isn't it? But
yeah.
But then I think the problem is probably back with Amazon, who are going to be reluctant to ship out to all and sundry their sales figures every week, which is effectively what you'd get from the ISBN
Maybe.
Returns for ebooks. That's probably an issue here. Otherwise they'd do it. But anyway. Anyway, that's an interesting area. Yes, as I say, old school. So Sunday, by the time this goes out, this all would have been done. People have to Google. Well, it'll still be the live chart, I guess, if it's next Friday.
Yeah, I won't know until Tuesday.
No. $9.99 a month, I think, is the Sunday Times subscription online, if you're around the world. But they have a very good puzzles page, which I do love.
Yes.
Good. Okay, anything else been going on in your world this week?
No, I don't think so. That's been my main focus is, trying to figure out ways to get books shipped, which is not normally something that would detain me for very long. But, you know, that's been an interesting puzzle. So yeah. We'll see how it goes. So I'll let you know next week.
Good. Okay. Well, look, our interview today is with Prestazon. We've probably mentioned Prestazon a couple of times already. It's a service that's been around for a little while. Mark started talking to them a year or so back. They are a service for people who are using Amazon advertising. They started as a service for people using Amazon ads to sell little black widgets and caravans or whatever people sell on Amazon, everything. But they've been very, very interested in authors, and they started talking to people like Mark a year or so ago. They really got their act together in the last 12... So how long?
4 years.
4 years ago, okay. But they've really got their
at
act
least,
together
yeah.
in the last 6 months or so, where they've started to properly make some changes to the platform, really turn their attention to authors. We've got to know them a little bit. They're a great team, really fun, very flexible. They've got a good product. I think it's still in its... from an author point of view, it's in a development stage, so they're very keen for people to give them feedback. I've been using it, you've been using it, and I think the first thing we could both agree on is it saves you time, because the Amazon Ads platform can be a bit fiddly to extract all the data that you need in various reports to make your decisions, then go in and make the changes. It smooths that process completely. But I'm going to let a man called Dirk tell us more about the platform. He is based in New York, like a lot of these companies. I think it's probably a work from home, even before coronavirus affair. But Dirk is one of the brains behind the system as it develops today. So let's hear from him, and then Mark and I will be back to talk about our experiences with Prestazon and a code for you to use to get a trial to see if it's going to work for you.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
So Dirk from Prestazon. Hey Presto Wizards, look at all this. We've got, it's magic. There's magic in the room.
I've got to stay true to brand, you know?
Yeah.
But it is uncomfortable, so we'll just, you get it in the very beginning and then we'll move away from it.
I think, you know, Wizards would wear that when they're out, formal Wizard wear, but now we're riffing about the magic that you do, you can be a little bit less formal.
This is casual wizardry. Yeah. We're not, you know, not formal right now.
Dialed it down a bit. Okay, so Presto, by the way, before we get into this, Prestazon, is Presto as in Hey Presto? Is that where the name comes from?
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, Presto and then Amazon. And if you look on the site, it's all, you know, our branding is the top hat with the wand and the whole nine yards. Yeah.
Superb. Okay. Well, look, I've been using this product for a little while now, so we are going to talk about some of the nitty gritty, but I think we should start big. And perhaps you just tell our audience what Prestazon is.
Yeah, so Prestazon is a Amazon PPC management tool. And what we do really kind of breaks down into three different buckets. We have our analytics to kind of show you what's going on in your account. You know, the common phrase I use and have been using my whole career is what gets measured improves. And so, you know, you can't improve things unless you can see what's going on. And so our analytics is really just best in class. It gives you really unique viewpoints into what's going on. And then the other two prongs are our bid optimization. And so we will manage your bid based on your ACoS target on a target level. So on a keyword, typically keyword or ASIN target level. And then finally, our keyword migration rules. And so those will actually move keywords into different campaigns or ad groups based on your stipulations. And so what those all combine to do is basically it's designed to not just optimize your account, but really just give you back time. You know, we want to do 90% of the boring stuff. And so then you can go in and we still want you to tweak. We still want you to do your account manager magic. But we just want to take away most of the boring stuff. So then you only have to worry about that, like 10% of optimization.
Yeah. And some background for people who aren't using the Amazon ads yet. It should be said the platform's hugely important to lots of us, but it's not a great interface. It never has been its strong point, the Amazon ads platform. So I can see you felt the pain points of people using it.
Yeah, absolutely. And our main goal is really to be a higher level programming language that's kind of an overlay on top of Amazon. So, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that you talk about is how, you know, you don't really like to use the Amazon bid suggestions because you're not sure where they're coming from and things like that. And so we want to have an option that A is a little bit more catered to your account and B is a little bit more transparent. So we're showing you whenever, for instance, we make a bid suggestion, we're always going to show you the data behind it and the reason behind it, which is not something you generally get when you're looking at Amazon.
So, okay, let's look at the platform in a little bit more detail. The first thing you come into is the campaign manager, and you do get this one option there that stands out straight away is bid automation, which you mentioned at the beginning. And somewhere in the settings, I think it's in the settings, you set your desired ACoS, right? And ACoS, we should say, for people who don't know, is basically whether you're making a profit or a loss on a campaign. So 100% is a break-even point. Below 100% is good. Above 100%, in theory at least, there's another very important point to make for authors in a moment. But the above 100% is, in theory, a loss on your campaign. So you set that. Now that seems to me a global setting across all your campaigns.
So you can do it in both ways. You can set it on the profile level on you know, in the profile settings. So then that would set the default for all of your campaigns. And then in the campaign manager, you can also set it on the campaign level. So if you've got different campaigns, you know, for instance, for different books that have different ACOS targets, you can set those on that level. And then the actual automation works on the target level. So every individual keyword will be evaluated individually and try to track towards that ACOS target.
Okay, so I can see that now. It's blindingly obvious. Despite the fact I didn't notice it before, I could see the in the settings you set your ACOS target, but there it is. There's a little pencil next to the individual campaigns that I can change. Now, that is important. I can tell you straight away, because the ACOS I would aim for book one in a series can be a lower ACOS because of read-through than the box set, for instance, where you need to be really making a profit on the campaign. So I would
absolutely
would be changing that there. So the one thing I was hinting at, which you I could see you nodding away, is that for those of us who make money through Kindle Unlimited, that's not reflected in sales on the dashboard, and we have to take that into account. So for instance, I was talking to a couple who ran, two sisters actually here in the UK who run, very successful. They've just had their first $50,000 month. They started only 18 months, less than 2 years ago. They're doing brilliantly. They write books every week. They're doing so well. And typically their Amazon ads platform, like mine, has never shown a profit. It never looks like it's showing a profit. And that's because they're big KU people. And read through, of course, is hugely important. Neither of those are reflected in the Amazon Ads dashboard, and they're not reflected in PrestaZone either, because of course you are taking that data straight from Amazon Ads. So how can authors adapt their strategy bearing this in mind?
Yeah, so that's absolutely true. And if Amazon starts providing more of that data through the API, I mean, you know, it's pretty obvious from us being here, you know, supporting authors is a big initiative for us. And so as we get more data, you know, we will try to integrate that as quickly as possible. But to answer your question, you know, that's the nice thing about being able to set your ACOS target is, even though, you know, for most of our product, you know, physical product customers, they set their ACOS target and it's an actual goal that they want to get to. Whereas for authors, because you have this other sort of venue to get revenue, you know, in a different place, you can just set a higher ACOS target. And so whatever you're comfortable with, if, you know that at 120% or 100%, you're actually going to be getting enough revenue from the read-through rate, then you can set it at that point rather than setting it at, 30%, which is your actual, might be your actual, breakdown. Yes. when you bring in your read-through revenue. So you can sort of do it that way. And I know that you're big on benchmarking, and so it just kind of goes hand in hand with how you talk about doing benchmarking externally outside of the platform. You can basically use that benchmarking and then apply it to your ACOS targets within the platform.
Yeah. So it seems to me there's a gap in the market for someone to come up with that formula that feeds in what you know is your break-even point and translates that into an ACOS. So I know that we sell the books that Mark and I market sell, they get 60% of revenue through KU, 40% through physical sales. And I also know roughly what the read-through rate is. So I reckon with those elements, I could come up with the point at which a campaign is no longer profitable based on its ACOS. So I'll have to sit down with a pen and paper and a spreadsheet at some point to work that out. But that's the flexibility of this platform, is you can then adjust your ACOS and all your data you're getting back shows you whether it's performing or not.
Precisely. It's, even though we're not getting all the data, it's flexible enough that you can sort of work around that limitation. And then again, ideally, eventually we'll get that data and we'll be able to integrate it into the calculations directly. But happy to work on that that worksheet for you. So I'm already working on a blog post and some breakdowns for similar to how you calculate with, the length of your series and how, how that applies to your actual, revenue versus just the sale on your first book, et cetera. So, one of the things we're really trying to do is there's not a lot of education out there really, dialed into the data behind Amazon PPC for authors. And so while we wait to get some of this data and get some of this, get some of that other stuff in the platform, we want to fill the gap with education. And so, that's why, we're doing things like this to try to, you know, first of all, learn from my perspective. You know, I'm new to the author, game. You know, my specialty is really in physical products and that side of things. So we want to learn, find out what questions are out there, and then see how we can answer them, you know, from the data and analytics side of things.
Yeah. Just on this point, Mark's been using PrestaZone for a while. We've been chatting to you guys. How important is it to you to work with the author world? It's quite a distinctly different part of Amazon. Although it uses the same platform, there are variations in the way it uses. Is this an important part of the future for you guys?
It's a gigantic part of the future. We actually had Amazon reach out to us a few months ago, and they said, hey, you've got a bunch of authors on your platform. What do you do to support them? And our honest response was, you know, not much. You know, authors found us and used us and dealt with the shortcomings, but not because we were actively reaching out to help. And when we got to talking to Amazon, it looks like Amazon is starting to come around to try to support authors more on the PPC side of things. And where we work very, very closely with Amazon and their API team. And so we kind of said, well, how can we help? And so it's a big initiative for us. You know, we now have a Facebook group where you can hop in and, you know, throw feedback in there, ask questions. You know, we're working on training programs specifically for authors. And so it's a huge part of our development. You know, just the other day, I was actually listening to this podcast and hearing about how important click-through rate was. And most of our kind of actions and triggers are on sales and conversions, because that's what makes sense for products. But that doesn't necessarily make sense for authors. So because, you know, if you get high click-through rate, even if you're not getting a physical, you know, an actual sale, you might be getting a high read-through rate. So we're actually going back and, you know, you have a direct, if you go to the author group or you message us, you've got a direct line to us, who then have a direct line to the developers. So I've actually added onto our product roadmap the ability to set a click-through rate threshold in order to promote and move keywords, because we don't currently have that. And so not only is it important for us just from an education standpoint, we're actually going to, you know, have our development roadmap be created with author needs in mind. And so the more we talk to authors, the more we understand your pain points, we're actually going to drive our product in that direction for you.
Yeah, well, that's superb. And that fits into the philosophy that we're learning from people like Janet Margot at the moment, is to really focus on impressions and click-through rate, knowing that there's a conversion level. You can always leave the sales to their own devices, because they will follow if you get the top of the waterfall right. And funnily enough, I was thinking, we'll come on to, I'm going to go through this bit by bit in a minute, because it's an interesting platform. And it's not too complicated at all, actually, to use. But I'm going to come on to the suggestions page, and actually I found myself toggling backwards and forwards because I wanted to see the click-through rate before I made a decision about accepting. And that's actually a little bit fiddly at that time, because you don't see the bid suggestion and the click-through rate at the same time. So that might be my little bit of feedback for you, which I'll post into the group at some point.
Absolutely. Do you click the little show data button? Is that and then you can apply it on the list,
so you can apply it. Okay, right. Well, look, we're on this analytics page at the moment where we're seeing the campaigns. And you mentioned at the beginning this this bid. In fact, it's just reloading the data at the moment, so it's gone from me at the moment. But the toggle you get at campaign level to adjust your bids automatically. Just talk to me about that, because obviously, on the one hand, we're telling people to be on top of their data and to know everything. On the other hand, here is a toggle switch at campaign level to do stuff automatically. So I think people would want to understand exactly what it does.
Yeah. And again, you know, our plan is to do the 90%. You know, there are some tools out there that want to completely take over your account. And we don't think that's a good way to do it, because you as an account manager, you know, you as an author and a self-publisher understand your book, you know, your market way better than our algorithm ever will. And so you're always going to have more context. And we very much suggest that you're in it, you know, at least once a week. Our goal is to get you from, you know, doing 2 hours of work a day in Amazon PPC to hopefully only be doing, you know, 1 or 2 hours a week. And if you, you know, you look at that and you measure how much your time is worth, you know, hopefully that's where the value proposition is. In terms of, you know, the actual nitty gritty behind it, the algorithm is going to track towards your target ACoS. So we're going to look at an individual keyword within your campaign and say you're, you know, just to make the math easy, say your ACoS target is 100%. If that individual keyword within the campaign that has a target of 100% is above the ACoS target, so say it's 150%, then we will typically bring the bid down because we're saying, hey, you know, you're above your ACoS target. Let's reduce the CPC on this. Let's try, you know, to get it underneath the target. Conversely, if you're below the ACoS target for a keyword, you're running at 20%, then we'll actually raise the bid because we'll say, hey, you've got meat on the bone here. You've got room to try to bring in more impressions. And so, you know, hopefully we can drive more volume through this successful keyword so that you can continue to get, you know, more impressions, more clicks, you know, ultimately more conversions, but also, you know, more read through.
So that toggle switch, the bid automation there, how does that interact with the suggestions page where you get keyword by keyword bid suggestions, which you can then press a button and apply?
Yeah, so the automation applies it for you. So if you were to automate all of your campaigns, then the suggestions tab would actually be blank.
Okay.
for your bids. So what you're seeing when you haven't automated is exactly what the system is doing in the background if you were to automate.
Okay, so you have a campaign level, you can toggle that switch, and everything your algorithm's finding out based on what you've put in there in terms of what you're trying to achieve, it will automatically do those bid adjustments. However, you can leave that toggle off, you can go into the suggestions tab, and let's do that now, actually, because I've been through all my suggestions and either rested them or applied them, so there's nothing there now for me. But actually, if I take off the available filter, do that, I'm going to see them. So you can go to suggestions level. You can literally look at, here's a keyword extinction series. I can see my current bid is 68 cents. I spent $4.66 on it. If I do data toggle, I can see the click-through rate on it, which is 0.73, which is good. But then I can make a decision on your recommendation. So you're saying, as I say, I've been through mine, but typically what I was reading earlier is that your ACoS is low on this. So we're going to suggest you lower that bid. And usually it was within a few pence of what I was going for anyway. A couple of them are quite significantly different. And I had noticed actually one of the great benefits of having this kind of dashboard display, a couple of my keywords were out of control. I was like $4 or $5 bids on them. I don't know how that happened, but that's the sort of thing that you notice when you start looking at this level, which is, again, to come back to the beginning, not the easiest thing to do with the Amazon Ads platform. It involves downloading reports and opening up spreadsheets and so on. So yeah, there's some benefit for me.
Absolutely. And you can actually customize the bid right there, right? So there's a little spot where you can edit the bid suggestion. And so that's nice. So if you don't agree with us in an instance, you can just change it to whatever you would have wanted it to be. And then, you know, I actually suggest don't automate at first so that you can keep an eye on us. And then, you know, if you find yourself, there's a little bulk actions button up at the top. And if you find yourself just sort of mindlessly going through and applying in bulk, because after a couple weeks, you're like, oh yeah, I trust Presses On, I trust their suggestions. Then you say, okay, maybe it's time, you know, to automate because I've got a comfort level with the suggestions that they've been making.
Yeah, I think I will get there because I suspect what I did in the first couple of days using Presses On is I spotted those outliers that were clearly wrong bidding $4. And your suggestion was to reduce the bid a bit to maybe $3, but that's still way too high for me. And that's because of where the bid was. So they're the sort of things I need to spot. Once I finessed that, everything's more or less in my ballpark. I imagine, well, we'll see what the results are, but I imagine I'm going to be using more of the automation process, which I guess is the point, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we want to give you time back. And just, you know, another little function is if you go up to the profile level settings where you've set your ACoS, there's also a bid constraint on the profile level that you can set. So if you never want it to go above a, you know, a dollar, or I guess in your case, it would be a pound, right?
Yeah. Right. Actually, I think my dashboard is in dollars. So
right, if it's in the US. Yeah. So you can set it so that it can never go above, you know, a certain, you know, threshold.
Yeah. And is that's global as well? I can see that in the settings, but can you do that at campaign level as well? Because it might be different between the box set and an individual book.
No, currently that bid constraint is only on the profile level, just to make sure that, you know, you can catch everything and you don't have anything going, you know, completely crazy, but we don't have it on the campaign level yet.
Okay, I'm going to put in $2. There you go. I don't want anything going above
$2. And if you click that little, there's a little enforce maximum button. And so
it'll go through and change it.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't click that button, then, you know, say you manually set something to $5 because it's a special case. If you don't click that little checkbox, then we'll leave it at $5. But if you click that checkbox, then we will actually enforce that maximum you just put in across the profile.
Wow. Probably a good place just to pause our dissection of PrestaZone and tell people how much this is, so they can factor that in. Some people will just be starting out with Amazon ads. Who is this pitched at? Is this pitched at people already running a few campaigns, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. It does take a little bit of Amazon PPC knowledge. You know, as you start walking through, like you were saying, the UI is great and really intuitive, but it is deceptively complicated when you really get into the weeds. But that's also why we're really developing the education program, especially for authors, to help them kind of jump in. But the original question was pricing. So we actually, again, with authors in mind, not just for authors, but we kind of catered it to them a little bit. We're now offering a $50 a month tier. And so our standard tier starts at $100 a month and then kind of goes up based on your spend. But specifically for authors, it's called PrestaZone Core. And if your spend is below $10,000 a month, you are able to use PrestaZone Core, and it basically has all of our core functionality. So you still get the bid optimization daily, and it does your top 1,000 keywords. You still have access to the rules. It just runs once a week rather than daily. And then you still have access to all of our analytics. And so, you know, saves us a little bit on the processing side of things, which is, you know, why we're able to offer at the slightly lower price, but it still kind of has that core functionality. And then ideally, as you scale, you know, hopefully everyone's going to hit that $10,000 spend marker, and then they can move up into, you know, the full platform as well.
Although I would suggest that you will probably want to move up before you get to $10,000 spend, I'd imagine. I mean, we're going to hit, with our little Fuse books, I think we're going to hit $2,500 this month, maybe a bit more on ad spend. And I'm getting to the point where the $100 suddenly looks like a small percentage of that to have the extra bits you get, the daily changes, for instance.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely benefit to upgrading, even if you're in the $5,000 to $10,000 range as well.
And we should say, Mark and I will give the link out after this, that you've done us a good deal for listeners of this very podcast. So there's, I think it's 50% off your first month. Is that right?
You're exactly correct. Yeah. And I have the code if you want it.
Yeah, you can give that out and we'll reiterate it at the end and put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's SPF show.
SPF show, there you go.
SPF show.
Excellent. Okay, so that's the main page. We've talked about the suggestions. The way this works, because it's quite interesting to me how this works, I was expecting to create a user and login here, but actually you give it your Amazon credentials. So it's closely linked to that account. And one thing I noticed right at the beginning, which is just the way that Amazon works, but you do have to have a separate PrestaZone account for each territory. So I typically advertise in the UK and the US. I would have to have two subscriptions and two ways of logging into PrestaZone, as I do with Amazon, for those two territories.
Yeah, you can actually link, if you have the same email user linked to those different accounts, then you will be linked to all of them, and you can actually go into a little drop down in the upper right of the application and switch between them. But they are separate. They are separate subscriptions. And it's just how, you know, it's, we have to make a delineation somewhere, and that's how Amazon manages their permissions. But you're exactly correct. We use login with Amazon. So there's no, you don't have to worry about us having permissions or, you know, in terms of the data, all of the security stuff, all the permission stuff is handled on the Amazon side. So, you know, it's just a little bit, it's a little nice in terms of peace of mind, you know, that we've got that connection.
Now, I haven't got this far yet, but I was wondering about going reviewing the decisions that it's made, because I went through a lot of keywords and either paused them or asked them, applied the suggested bid or made a manual change. Can I review the changes that have been made?
Yeah, there's a change history tab right next to the suggestions tab, I believe. And so you can go through there and you can look at all of the changes. And it will also tell you where the changes were made or what the automation reason was. So, you know, you might see, oh, why did PressesOn make this $10 change or something like that? And then you'll look and you'll go, oh, no, that was me in the Amazon interface. So there is a change history. So you can go in and review.
So tell us about the company a bit, Dirk. How long have you been involved in it and when did it start?
Yeah, so PressesOn's been around for, almost 4 years now. And the way that it was started, Ben and Dana and Chris, the co-founders, were actually selling on Amazon. And their day job were, they were software developers by day working at a software company. And so they were doing this as a side gig and they were developing Amazon tools for themselves, where they were like, oh, Amazon doesn't do this well. This is a pain. So I'm going to develop this tool to make it easier. And then eventually the first product was the bid optimization where, they made that and were like, wow, this works really well. You know, this could be a product in and of itself. It's sort of like the people that were selling jeans and panning bowls and things at the gold rush. Like, right. Those were the ones that really took off. So they were like, oh, well, we can actually make this a product. And so, they developed it, they productized it, and they started going out and working with agencies and working with direct clients. My background, I actually started in Amazon PPC, or not Amazon PPC, but PPC in general, actually in hospitality. I started as a hotel general manager, and PPC is huge in the revenue management side of things for hotels. And so that was my, almost a decade ago now. That's how I kind of started in Amazon or in PPC. And then I moved over to work in manufacturing. I was working for an electronics manufacturer and running the US operations and supply chain. And so heavily involved in Amazon, both on the FBA side and the supply chain side, and then on the Amazon PPC and advertising side. And so I came to PressesOn probably about a year and a half ago. I still remember about a month in, we had a company-wide meet and greet, and I looked at Ben and I said, in 6 months, I'm gonna be the strategy guy. I'm gonna be the expert. And everyone laughed because, Ben has a great reputation in the space and he speaks at conferences and all this. And I was there for a month, a young whippersnapper saying, I'm gonna take your seat. And, almost 6 months to the day was the first time that I really stumped Ben with an interesting strategy. And so, it's such a cool, interesting problem. No one has a silver bullet for Amazon PPC, whether it's on the product space or on the author space. If someone did, then everyone else would be out of business. And so it's a really fun, interesting problem. And what we see both on the product side and especially on the author side is, I'm a math guy. I got my degree in mathematics. Ben's a data scientist by trade. And there's not a lot of analytics people and math people doing Amazon PPC. On the product side, it's all marketing people and creatives that are just like, oh, I have to do this advertising stuff. For authors, you want to write. That's your goal. This is a means to an end. You do it because it's needed. And so we want to fill in that gap. And we basically want to be the data scientist, in order to help you, again, get back to what you're doing and not having to focus as much of your time on Amazon PPC.
I like your ambition.
Hey, you gotta shoot for the stars, right?
Go big or go home.
Exactly.
So it's good that Ben didn't just laugh and say, get rid of that guy, call security, but there you are.
No, I think he did. Oh, he did. I just ignored him. I just kept showing up to work.
Okay, very good. Without getting too technical, no one else will be interested in this bit, but I'm kind of nerdy about this. The back end of this, so there's something called an API that every sort of platform has, which is the sort of proper way to plug in and get details out of it so you can create an interface to it. So you could have something that manages your YouTube account and it gets stuff for the API. Is that how this works? It plugs into the API, or do you have some sort of inside track with Amazon to link things up?
Yeah, we plug into the Amazon advertising API. We do also have a really close connection, with Amazon, and we deal with them very closely. But in terms of the actual data connection, technically speaking, I don't think quite anyone, but, you know, even as a direct seller, you can get access to the API. But a lot of it is about how you manipulate that data, you know, just because you have the data.
You know,
it's just there in piles and you don't know what to do with it.
No, there's the magic is in the software. Without question. Yeah. And is the this is probably a company confidential question. I'm going to ask it anyway. Is the kind of long term strategy that Amazon at some point will think, you know, we should really own this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, right now we're just having fun, right? You know, I, for some reason, love having Amazon PPC. You know, that's something I learned about myself is I love talking about this sort of stuff all the time. So, you know, right now we're just enjoying building a really cool product and, you know, we love working with our clients and, you know, having a close relationship with them and, you know, building solutions for them and helping them succeed. You know, we're very much in kind of a supporting role to help other people, you know, kind of grow and do cool things. And so right now that's kind of what we're interested in doing and we're happy to do it. And who knows what tomorrow brings, but, you know, we're going to keep doing our thing for as long as we can.
Well, I think it's great. And all you can do is just make the platform incredibly useful to people and
absolutely
ultimately sells them more little black widgets or books or page reads. And I would have thought at some point if I was Amazon and this was working really well and the people who used Prestazon got better results than the people who didn't, which I think is probably, in fact, I'm fairly certain is already the case. At some point, if I was Amazon, I'd be thinking, I'm going to buy this off you guys, make you guys rich, and then give it to everyone. But that's, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But
I mean, hey, that sounds great, but I don't know. Maybe you'll have to have Ben on and see if he can really turn the screws on him and see what's going on. But
maybe Ben wants to hold it anyway to keep it. Who knows what the strategy is? Anyway,
I mean, like I said, you know, we like going into work every day, you know, and so long as that's happening, you know, you can't beat that.
Yeah, well, I was surprised when I first logged on. I have to say, it's like any kind of new bit of software. You're looking at it thinking, I don't really know how this works. Have I got time to do this? It's taken me about half an hour to realize I will probably only ever adjust this level of detail in my Amazon ads campaigns through Prestazon. I already know I'm not going to be exporting spreadsheets and so on, which is one of the reasons why we've asked you guys to create a mini course that goes part of our Ads for Authors course. So with a really good detailed breakdown of how to use it, how to get the best out of the platform, because we can see straight away there's a massive advantage to manipulating your campaigns using Prestazon.
Absolutely. And as I said in the beginning, you know, our whole idea is to be this sort of higher level programming language on top. So there are some settings, you know, like budget management and a few other little settings that you still have to do in the Amazon portal. But when it comes to data analysis and things like that, I mean, quite frankly, I've actually had Amazon employees reach out and say, hey, can you do a demo? Because I've heard that your visualization is really good. And we've walked through it and they go, I've never looked at our data like this, you know, because what we did was there's a lot of tools out there that are a port from Google or Facebook. And they just said, oh, well, we'll take this and we'll just put it on top of Amazon. But like I said, in the very, you know, when we're talking about how we started, it started as an Amazon tool. And so we built it from the ground up with Amazon in mind, and especially the search term, because the search term is super important to us. It's what we make a lot of our decisions off of, because that's really the touch point with the customer, right? The customer doesn't know that you've got a broad match keyword on XYZ, you know, character string, right? They're just typing in what they want, you know, what they want to find. And that's the touch point. And so the secret behind what we do is we're trying to make the mapping from the keyword to the search term as close as possible.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're managing your bid, right? You're managing your bid on your keyword, but the search term is the touch point with the customer.
Yeah. One of the things we always tell people is to think of keywords as search terms. There's effectively, and sometimes they are literally a sentence. It's not a keyword. It's a badly named thing, isn't it? The keyword. It's not. Sometimes it's how do I build a car? If you're selling a book that does that, sometimes that's your keyword.
Absolutely. And the danger there is if you don't have your structure set up correctly, then the keyword doesn't match up to the search term the way you want it, then you can get into, you know, all these sort of cross paths and the data isn't, you know, it's not clean. And so that actually, and again, probably, you know, why we're so aligned, but the point of Press Is On in terms of the keyword migration and our default rules and our default structure is to get that one-to-one relationship between a keyword and a search term so that you can think of the keyword as the search term. Because if they're set up in that one-to-one manner, then when you change the bid on that keyword, you're directly affecting the relevant search term.
Yeah. Well, Mark and I think this is a bit of a game changer for us. You know, we spend quite a lot of time telling people how to download the data from the Amazon Ads platform, how to manipulate it. We teach as a session specifically of how to create a pivot table and how to use it. But that's a lot of work to go to get stuff that you can get at the click of a mouse key here.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so hard. And like you said, you know, pivot tables and things like that in order to aggregate the data. You know, we're aggregating the data right there. You know, if you go to the Search Term Explorer, for instance, in analytics, and then you click a little breakdown expansion for keywords, you can see not only the search term, but all the different targets where that search term is firing and all the data behind all of those different targets. So you can see, oh, you know, on this search term is working really well for book four, but it's not working for book one. Maybe I should just pause it for all the books except for book four, because that's what's really driving, you know, great click through or something like that. And so, you know, you can really dive deep and get really granular, and it's just super valuable.
Yeah. And you do get a lot of stuff out of Amazon. It's not immediately obvious when you're on the ads dashboard for the reasons we've discussed, but once you start exporting stuff, you can see not the keywords you've come up with. You can see the keywords that somebody typed in that led them to eventually buy your book.
Exactly. Yeah, you're seeing what the customer is actually typing in, and you can glean so much information from that. And then, you know, you go even beyond that and you can see, you know, for instance, like ASIN targeting and looking at, oh, you know, someone was looking at this book and they ended up buying my book. And that leads you to, you know, going through and targeting, whether it be competitors, or it's not really competitors in your space, right? It's more complementary, you know, topics and things like that. And so, you know, you can see all of that within the data, and then build, you know, most of my day is building complex strategies around all this data to basically take what is showing up in the sales history and then transferring that into a strategy moving forward.
Yeah. Do you have any plans to expand PrestAzon to cover some of the other advertising platforms that people use, such as BookBub ads or Facebook ads?
We've thought about it. Right now, we're really focused on Amazon, and there's still so much to expand just in Amazon. You know, I mean, you think of all of the things, because now, you know, now that I've really immersed myself in the author space, you know, I'm building strategies on my side on kind of like the thought, strategic, philosophical side. But then every time I run into a roadblock, I've got a whole list for the developers of, you know, like the click-through rate trigger for rules. And, you know, obviously if we get read-through rate, you know, working on some of the calculations to link ASINs by series possibly. And then, you know, kind of working around some of the restrictions that authors have, right? Because there's certain author ad types where you can only have one ASIN per ad group. Right. And so, you know, revamping strategies in order to do that. And so, you know, this is a whole growth area for us. And so we're just really excited to fill this space and try to optimize it for our platform as much as possible. And then maybe one day you can twist our arm to move to Facebook. But right now there's so much, you know, there's a whole feast in front of us just on the Amazon side.
Yeah. And I think the Amazon platform is the one that needs this the most, I would say, out of that bunch. The KU thing is an issue. We hear rumors all the time that they are going to be, I'm sure they are without question, going to be adding KU revenues into the dashboard at some point. We don't know when, hopefully this year. Read through. I don't know whether that will ever be something that Amazon gives up, even though they could probably work it out. Well, they can definitely work it out better than we can. But maybe at some point down the line, there would be a space for us to put in our read-through values into PrestAzon and allow your algorithms to factor that in.
Yeah, there's we have, you know, sort of pie in the sky goals. And one of them is to be able to integrate different data sources. So, you know, from the product side, we think of things like COGS, right? Your cost of sales and a lot of stuff like that. And then, you know, from the author side, it could be things like read through rate, things like, you know, read revenue, things like, you know, if you've got the tool to calculate your total sale value for book one or whatnot, you know, we might be able to integrate that sort of stuff. So more of a pie in the sky goal, but definitely something that we've thought about.
Superb. Well, Dirk, I think I've probably come across as a bit of a fan. I am a convert to the platform, definitely. I do realize that $50 a month for people just starting out, they probably do want to be downloading those spreadsheets and, yeah, dare I say it, creating the odd pivot table. But that's a good thing to do when you start off anyway, I think.
I mean, you know, the best conversations I have are with people that have kind of immersed themselves a little bit and gotten everything and the underlying data so that when they come over to a platform like PressesOn, they understand what we're doing. And so then, you know, the questions are more nuanced, the strategy is more, you know, is kind of more ingrained. And so I definitely think when you're just starting out, doing a lot of that stuff is really valuable to get an understanding. And then, you know, then we'll start doing the work for you once you understand, you know, the underlying actions behind it.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. It's the same as employing somebody to do something. You really need to know the complete ins and outs of it in order to be an effective manager of that person, which is effectively what's happening here. You work for me, Dirk.
I live to serve.
Fantastic. Well, look, you need to put your wizard hat back on as we conclude the interview, because I think you need to go formal again, go out into the streets. There you are. I think you're in New York. Are you?
I am, yeah. I'm in a suburb just north of New York City.
Okay. And so is the company done remotely, as is the way things work these days?
Yeah, we've always been 100% remote. So the only difference with the quarantine is I've got an 8-month-old baby. So no daycare. Ooh. Has been a bit of a challenge.
Oh, I can only imagine. That is hard work at that point. He or she crawling yet?
Yes, she just started crawling, so she's all over the place. You haven't heard her during this recording session, which means that is a Herculean feat for my wife.
We wouldn't have minded.
She's apparently kept her quiet.
Do thank your wife. And I remember the point where they become mobile, everything changes around the house.
Yeah, so it's definitely been eye-opening, for sure.
Well, look, good luck with that, Dirk. That's a really important life thing for you. And thank you for coming on talking about PressesOn. We are going to be friends, I think, and colleagues for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
There we go. So you're using PressesOn, Mark, using it pretty routinely now, built into your daily trawl through your campaigns?
Daily or by every other day. So I mean, I just looked at it before we hopped on, and it picked out. It is good. It will pick out just on, as you said before the interview, on a surface level, just being able to pull down all of the search terms that readers are using to search to find books, and then those search terms converting into sales of your book. It makes it very much more easy than it is on Amazon. Especially if you've got more than one account. So you don't need to get the spreadsheets. It will pull those down for you. It makes it a lot easier to do that. And you can see patterns of which search terms are working. You can see the ACOS against keywords and search terms, all color-coded, and you can set the ACOS target to whatever you want. So it's very good at presenting the information. And the automation side of it is interesting as well. So it will look at your bids, and it will suggest up at several hundred. I just clicked through, I think, 1,000 suggestions on one of my accounts, and it moved some bids up because they weren't getting impressions. It moved some other bids up because there was more space within the margin that I'd set it to generate more sales. And it moves some down if it feels that the ACOS is too high above the target, or it's just not the clicks too expensive, or conversion's not right. It will move those clicks down again, which is great. And the other thing it can do, again automatically, is it will find the search terms that readers are using to then go and buy your books, and it will pick out the ones that have hit certain targets. So the obvious one is it's made a sale, or maybe it's made 5 sales, and it will take those keywords and put them into a new manual campaign. So you can have automatic campaigns running presses on will pick out the keywords that are selling in those automatic campaigns or the search terms that are selling, put them into its own like manual campaign, and then you can look at trying to optimize that. And it will do that automatically. So it's interesting. It's got tons of potential. I think it's pretty cool just for the basic features, and some of the more advanced features. It's a little bit, a few gremlins now and again, but the advanced features I think have lots of potential. And we've definitely got their attention now. I mean, we were on a call the other day with them, weren't we, James? And I think, I don't know how many people have enrolled through, after finding out through SPF, because we've got a really good little course in ads for authors. But I think it's three figures, I think, at least. You know, we'd brought a lot of authors into their sphere who might not have heard of them before. So we're quite pleased about that.
Yeah, there is an entry level, like all these things, depending on how much you're making, there'll be a point at which it's going to work for you. Certainly in terms of if you value your time, I think that entry level will happen sooner rather than later. But you can trial it for free for 15 days, I believe the offer is, if you use the code SPFSHOW when you get to Prestazon, app.prestazon.com. and sign up. And like you, Mark, I've been through, I used it this morning, actually went through my suggested bids, and it's quite nice. You can, so your suggested changes that Mark was just describing, I had a couple of pages of them actually. So I picked out the ones that I wanted to do slightly differently. I either wanted to ignore it for whatever reason or change it. And then the rest, once I was happy with them, you can bulk do them. And that's a very, very quick way of making it changes. But the search term function, which I sort of discovered with Dirk in the call, is fantastic to pick out those magic search terms you don't realize are buried in your campaign with really high click-through rates, like 20 and 30%, and yielding sales. Then you can sort of see them at a glance and start bumping them up, putting them front and center. Good. Well, yeah, we do like a bit of automation. If you're watching on YouTube, God. I did my robot. Which is great. And if you're interested, also, I should mention, you talked about ACoS, which is a bit of an interesting area when it comes to Amazon ads, because all is not what you see with Amazon. You can have an ACoS score that looks like it's making a loss on Amazon ads, but in the real world, it's making a profit for you because it doesn't take into account things like read-through and, crucially, Kindle Unlimited page reads. I've actually written a blog on my experience discovering all this and moving the profit bar up month by month on our little imprint, Fuse Books, and that blog should be live as we speak, Marks. And that does, I think goes some way to explaining what I mean when I say it may look like you're making a loss, but actually you're making a profit using benchmarking and so on. So you can find that.
Yeah, it's well worth a read. It's a good blog that sets out. I know praise is like hen's teeth, but no,
yeah,
it's very good. It's definitely worth a read. I mean, and just looking at the ACoS is not necessarily it's a good like indication, but it's not really the determining factor as to whether an ad should be switched off or not. There are other things to take into account, and James does go through it in a nice thorough blog post that you should have a look at.
I'm going to have to go and sit down.
I can balance it out if you like.
Oh, what are you going to have a go at me for?
Well, I can come up with lots. Yeah.
Well, it seems like a good time to wrap it up. I'll take the praise going into the weekend. I've got a pubs open tomorrow, and Mark has said I did something right. There you go. Life doesn't get any better. Good. Well, I want to say thanks to Dirk and Ariel, the team at Prestazon, and Ben, who's the big man, the big guy at Prestazon, who we've chatted to for the first time this week. And I think it's a tool that we'll keep very much in with. We'll be using it and see how that develops. At the moment, they're all ears. So there's a Prestazon authors group specifically for authors using the platform, and they are all ears to how you're using it, what your feedback is. They'd love to hear you. So make sure you do join that Facebook group if you do get involved in Prestazon. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much indeed to Dirk. Thank you very much indeed, Mark, for joining us on this Friday evening. Stay away from the pubs, go on your bike, stay safe and all the rest of it. And I'm not allowed to play cricket. That was the big thing. It was supposed to have been announced today as recreational cricket. But that's been kiboshed by Boris. So I'm unhappy because I want to go and play cricket. But there you go. I can't even drink because you've told me that's dangerous. Nothing left.
I have. And I'm just looking at our clocks. We need to wind up, James, before
I'm waffling now, so I'm going to wind up. In fact, all that leaves me to say is that it's a goodbye from him.
And a goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Get show notes, the podcast archive, and free resources to boost your writing career at selfpublishingshow.com. Join our thriving Facebook group at selfpublishingshow.com/Facebook. Support the show at patreon.com/selfpublishingshow. And join us next week for more help and inspiration so that you can make your mark as a successful indie author. Publishing is changing, so get your words into the world and join the revolution with the Self-Publishing Show.